last few weeks we've been talking a lot about home, we've been talking about finding your place, and this morning what we're going to do is we're going to talk about playing your part. Because if you're going to find your place, then you've got to play your part. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to spend a few minutes to think about the talents and the giftings that God has given us. Because each one of us have talents and abilities, and so our job is to use those. Use them for the kingdom and use them for the glory of God. I want us to read Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. It's on the screen, or I encourage you to look it up on your phone or in your Bibles if you've got them with you. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 10 says this: "For it is by grace that you have been saved." That's good news. It's through grace that we have been saved. Through faith. "It is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that anyone could boast." Verse 10 is the key verse I want to look at this morning. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So not only has grace saved us, but grace is enabling us to do good works. God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. I think what we should instantly think about is this: not that I don't have any talents, but I do, so therefore what are they, and can I get going on them, God, because he has prepared them in advance for me to do. So if I want to know my gifts, who do I go to? I go to the gift giver, and he'll reveal to me my gifts. Usually the things that you're interested in, usually the talents you've got, usually what people see already. Wow, you're just a great host. Wow, you're just so friendly. Wow, you make loads of money. Maybe it's for the kingdom. There's all sorts of ways that God blesses us. There's all sorts of huge ways and giftings that God provides. And here's how good God is that usually you've got more than one gift. Usually you've got more than one talent. And he's looking for each one of us to not only find our place, which we talked about last week, but this week to play your part. We're all in the family together. We all need many hands. We all need each other's hearts. We all need each other's encouragement. We all need each other's giftings to make this thing work. Here's what Romans 12:6 says: "Having then gifts," look at this one, "having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." There's that word grace again. Grace, we need to know, is twofolded. Not only to save us, not only to bring us back, not only whenever we're making mistakes, we can pray and God's good grace brings us back to the place we should be, but it's a grace that also empowers us. This is what the Word's telling us this morning. It's a grace that calls us forward, that empowers us for the future. So God is so good that he not only forgives you and brings you back to square one so that you can have a go again, but he also enables you with his grace to be able to do the things that he has destined for you to do. So these are grace gifts, and these are gifts given by grace, given to us. Here's it in simple terms: let us use them. Let us use them. You see, God wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is gifts in our lives given to us by him, and it's up to us to use them. I mean, he's not going to force you to use them. He's not going to drag them out of you, although sometimes he will. He'll send people around you, "Come on, can you help here? Can you help there? Can you do this?" And it almost feels like they're trying to drag them out of you, because God's a good God. He wants you to use your giftings. And so this morning, we have gifts. God has placed them in our lives, and it's for us to now use those gifts for his glory. And we do that through his strength, because it's his grace that enables us. It's his grace that calls us forward. And if you looked up the word gifts there in that context, you get this word, charisma. You get this word, and it simply talks about gifts, but it attaches to something greater, and it says that they are divine gifts. And here's what God, I believe, wants to share with us this morning, is that these gifts are actually part of your destiny. They're actually part of your purpose. Because whenever you fulfill what you're called to do, what do you feel? You feel purposeful. You feel content. You feel fulfilled. I believe this morning that all of us are looking for that. We're all looking for contentment. I just want to feel like I'm doing the right things. I want to feel like I'm on the right path. I want to have contentment. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we talked about on Wednesday night in our leadership stuff. That's what we're all desiring to have, that response from the Lord. And I believe this morning that we achieve that through exercising our gifts. The gifts that God has given us, we become good stewards of the gifts when we start to use the gifts. We're going to look at the moment about the 10 talents, or the 3 servants with the talents, and how if you don't use your gifts, you lose them. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. God has blessed us with talents. He has blessed us with abilities. He has blessed us with things to be able to go and make a benefit and make an impact to the world around us. And it is bigger than just using those gifts. It is about you fulfilling your call and your destiny. Whenever we use our gifts, what do? We get a spiritual contentment. We come alive. We feel a joy. We feel this desire of like, this is what I'm made for. That's exactly the way God always intended us to feel. Now think of the opposite. When we don't know what we're doing, when we're unsure of the next move, when we're not sure of what to do tomorrow, we're not feeling this, we're not feeling that, maybe it's that we need to start using the gifts that God has given us. Because when we hold back from our giftings, whether it be from hurt, whether it be from insecurity, whether it be from just maybe even ignorance, like I didn't know I had any gifts, you know, whether it be any of those things, don't allow the enemy to hold you back from being who God's created you to be. You have giftings, you have abilities. I believe this, they're unique to you, and without you fulfilling your role, we miss something in the body. It's just the way it always is. God is so good that he would give each and every one of us unique giftings so that when we're part of the body, we would all fulfill our certain function. We would all fulfill our certain role, and as we do that, we become a complete body in Christ. Whenever we're missing one or two, whenever one or two are not firing on all cylinders, whenever one or two can't be what, we need to encourage them to get back to there because we want to feel the strong body again. We want to feel that completeness. We want to know that wholeness again in Christ. And so wherever you find yourself this morning, whether it be just you've been coming through some battles, maybe it is that you haven't recognized, maybe that you've just let them languish for a while, God wants to encourage you again. Find your place and then use your gifts. Play your part in the bigger picture that God has for you. Our destinies are at stake. Being part of the house is what God's called us to do. I mean, we talk about a family, and a family lives in a house. They live in a home. So this is our home this morning. This is our heavenly home, our heavenly family home. Until we get to heaven, this is it for us. So we gotta look after each other. We gotta encourage each other. We gotta be there for each other. Maybe if we had a different mindset, we'd think of it like this. I go out during the week to come back to my family, come back to my home on a Sunday. Whenever I get other opportunities to meet my family and to be at home, I come during the week. That's why I love to come to pray. That's why I love to come to First Love. That's why I can't wait for tomorrow night for that special service, because it's just another chance to come to be part of my family. And here's something that we were chatting about this week, and I want to encourage you, and I thought it was Holy Spirit led, and I just want to drop it in this morning. And it was this, that sometimes, and I've heard it said before, and sometimes this happens automatically without us thinking, that, I'm not going to go to the prayer meeting. I don't need anything. You know what I mean? No, I'm not going to go to the prayer meeting because I'm just not struggling with anything. I'm all good. And it's amazing. We don't intensely, I'm sure that we don't intensely think that or want to be like that, but sometimes that creeps into our thinking. Or I don't need prayer because there's nothing wrong going on in my life. God says that we should pray without ceasing. That as a family, what's prayer? It's communication. Could you imagine a family that only communicates when there's issues? That's not a healthy family. A healthy family communicates far more than just issues. It says, how was your day? It was amazing. We have to tell you this. You just hold the phone. I got to tell you this. I mean, when you get in that family atmosphere and you get in that family environment, there's just a war going on if everyone's excited to share what's going on. That's what God intended. So we shouldn't be picking and choosing the times that we meet based on our needs and our wants. We should be just in there because we're family. This is what we do. This is what we do. I come to encourage you. You come to encourage me. I can't wait to share my news. I can't wait to hear your news. That's why we've got to be together. That's what God always intended. That's what he always wanted. God wants us to be part of the house. God wants us to be part of the family. So we're going to look at, Peter's got the verses up first. We're going to read these verses together. Quite a lot of verses this morning, but I've split it down into 3-4 different parts. All about the talents, the story of the talents. And so let's read it and then we'll discuss it afterwards. It says this in chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus is telling the parable, he's trying to reveal the kingdom of heaven to his followers. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But when he who had received the 1 went and dug it in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money, and after a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Then verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now here's where the story changes. Verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there is what's yours. And he gives it back to him. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming home, I would have received back my own interest. So take this talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. An incredible story, and Jesus prefaces it with, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he shares a story. 3 servants, all with 3 different talents, all different amounts, but all with the opportunity, I want us to think about this morning, all with the opportunity to grow their giftings, all with the opportunity to grow what they had been given. Now, the story is specific. The talents are mentioned in money, but it can filter into anything. Our gifts, our natural talents, our abilities, it can be any of those things. Anything that's valuable that God has given us, it can really be anything like that. And this morning, we're going to think about it in all forms. We're going to think of it from our money. We're going to think of it from our giftings, our talents, our abilities, all of those things. And God's saying this morning, each one of us have been given according to our own ability. That's what the master says. I give each one according to their own ability. But each one has the room to multiply. Each one has the power to increase as they would use the giftings and abilities that they've got. And of course, we see in the story that the one who doesn't, the 1/3 of the 2/3 that doesn't use their talents, well, then the master comes back and says, you wicked and lazy servant. And he gives it to the one with 10. In other words, the one that's most faithful, the one that multiplies the one the most, the one who takes care of his talents the best. Church, this morning, God wants to say something right from the outset, that you have talents and abilities given to you by God. Our God is to be a steward of what's been given to us. Think about this for just a moment. We don't produce the gifts. We don't increase the gifts. But as we use the gifts as good stewards, as we use our talents, as we use our money for the kingdom, as we use the abilities that God's given us for the kingdom of God, for this house, for the world at large, what does the Lord promise? Just like in the story of the master, God promises the same thing, that you will increase, that you will increase, that you will multiply. He will trust you with more and with more and with more. We are all stewards. Look what verse 14 says right at the beginning. We have it on the screen. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man who has traveled a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. The master delivers the goods. God's saying this morning, I have delivered such good stuff inside of you. It may be in seed form at the moment, but plant any good seed in good soil and water it well. Watch what's going to happen next. The seed will come forth. Trees will be produced. Plants will come forth. And before you know it, that one seed will turn into a seed bearer, and those seeds will multiply, and that one plant will be able to multiply more plants. God says this morning, I have deposited good gifts inside of you. I have deposited good talents inside of you. I have deposited finance inside of you through your workplace, through inheritance, through all forms. I have deposited good things inside of you. What are you going to do with the talents that God has given us? What are you going to do with them? That is the challenge for each and every one of us this morning, to use the gifts. These are good gifts. God has intended that we would manage them well, that we would look after them well, that the master provides, and we're the one that would look after them and use them and increase them and invest them and grow them. This is what God has called us to do. It's important to note that these are not ours, so our goal is not to hold on tightly. Our goal is to use all that God has given us. Why? Because if we hold on tightly, we start to worry about how we're going to get more. So if I help him or I help her, what about me? If I give to this or I give to that, what about me? Because what if I run out? And God says, that's never the way I intended it. You would understand that everything comes from me. All good gifts come from above. They would come to you, but deposit into your life. Then you as a good steward, with the wisdom and the grace that God's given you, you would distribute. You would use them. You would be a blessing. never worrying about it running out, because you would know that your good Heavenly Father would deposit more into your life, and then you would increase and use more and use more and use more. This is what God always intended. When we make that subtle shift to I'm the provider, then I've got to be very stingy with my time, with my money, with my energy. I've got to be very focused on keeping everything because I'm worried I won't get any more. And watch how the enemy tries to do that in our lives by undermining our thinking, by undermining our value, by undermining the character of God. And before you know it, we start to say, well, I got to keep tight of everything I've got, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And God says this morning, I have blessed you with the talents, with the gifts. Go and use them for the kingdom. Go and be a blessing. The master wants us to use the talents. First two servants, they use the talents that they have been given. And watch what happens. They gain more. It's incredible. They use the talents that God gives them and they gain more. Each time, this is what the master says. He repeats himself word for word each time. Verse 21 says them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, the master promotes them. This is what I love. As we would use our giftings, it might start off as one talent, it might be two talents, it might be five, but watch what the Lord does. He increases you. And here's what I want to encourage you about the story, is that yes, it's about the talents, but really it's about the man's heart. Really, it's about the servant's character. It's about the heart of the servant. Will you believe who you say I am? Will you go and serve? Will you go and be a blessing? Will you be just like the master? Will you take the talents you have received, and will you go and use them for the kingdom of God? Will you go and use them in the house? And God says this morning, I've got a place for you, but I want you to play your part because you're here to do that. You're not here to just be part of the furniture. You're not furniture. You're a human being. You are far too good for that. You have so much about you. You have so many talents, so much ability, so many great things in your life that need to come out to be a blessing to the body around you because only you can bring the gifts that you can do. And once you do that, fulfillment and joy and overflow starts to happen in your life. You see, here's the point I want us to see this morning, and I think it's really important. God adds the word faithful, and then he attaches multiplication to it. Now, I think when we start to think about the word faithful, this is what I would naturally think in my mind. Always there, you know, never late, whatever, those type of things. Just faithful, you know, just always there, never let you down, you know, always around when you need them, that type of thing. But God doesn't associate it in this story as that being faithful. What does he say? He says faithfulness is multiplication. Is whenever you take the gifts that you have been given, and if you're a true faithful servant, this is what you'll do. You'll take those gifts, you'll invest those gifts, you'll use those gifts, and out of that faithfulness, multiplication will come. In other words, in the kingdom of God, from this story to get into our hearts is this, is faithfulness is not just a status quo. Faithfulness is taking what you have and multiplying it for the kingdom of God. It's not just holding on to it and keeping it safe. Sometimes that's what we've been lulled into. Well, I'll just keep it safe. I'll just keep what I have and I'll just keep it safe because I just want to play safe because this and that and all sorts of different things. Now, I know there are times in our lives where there are exceptions and there are times when we're in a healing process and there are times where we just physically can't do the things we want to do, but they're usually short seasons or they're usually for a season and then it transitions again. We're not meant to stay there forever. Watch how the enemy wants to keep you there, but God wants to release you from it. And a lot of the times it'll come whenever we just get that tiny bit of encouragement to start to use our talents again, even in the midst of our brokenness. In fact, we're always using our talents in the midst of brokenness because who's ever complete? Who's ever perfect? So don't allow what we see out there to try to come into our hearts. We are always going to be broken people, but through God's strength and through God's grace, we can still overcome because we're more than overcomers. And so the servants understood something about the master. They understood to be a faithful servant is a multiplying servant. I want to encourage you this morning to be a faithful servant is to be a multiplying servant. You take what you have and you use it for the kingdom of God. And watch how the Lord multiplies it. Watch how he increases it. Look what the third servant does. He buries his talent and he loses it. A complete contrast to the first. First two servants multiply everything that they've been given. They're faithful with it, and they multiply. But the third servant buries it, and he buries his talent, and he loses it. And I'm saying this morning, if we want to grow, we've got to be like the first two and not like the last one. If we want to grow, we've got to see ourselves as the first two servants, not the last. Because being faithful is using what God has given us. Stop focusing on everybody else. Here's what I used to do. Thankfully, I've changed a lot. I used to be like this. God, I want to use my talents. I want to use my abilities, but I'm not as good as her. I'm not as good as him. He seems to be able to do everything. She seems to be able to do everything. Do you know what I was mistaking myself with? I was mistaking myself with the 5 talent when I only had the 1. But if I was faithful with the 1, God would multiply it, and he would increase it, and increase it, and increase it all the more. Do you know what I believe in the story? If God was to expand it, that in most likely all occasions, that the one with the 5 probably started off with 1. But because of his faithfulness, he multiplied what God had given him. And how we know that? Because there's just that natural sequence. There's the 1, there's the 2, there's the 5. And when the 1 loses, what does the master do? He takes the 1, when he takes it off the servant who loses the 1, he takes it from him, and he adds it on to the one who's most faithful. See, God is constantly increasing us, constantly multiplying us. And what I used to do was turn around everybody else and go, wow, I was jealous of him, or was jealous of her. I wonder if I had this, or wonder if I had that. And I wanted to jump far too quickly. And God says, no, be faithful with the little that you do have, and watch how I'll multiply it, watch how I'll increase it. What does the Lord say there? Be faithful with the little things, and watch how I will entrust you then with the bigger things. I will cause you to grow, but your number one goal is to use it. Okay, I want us to go back to Ma's class just for a minute, because we're talking about multiplication this morning. I want to take the 5 talents. Can we imagine this in our heads? Some people like Ma's. Who likes Ma's? Come on. Who likes Ma's? Some people are shaking like, no way. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. But I guess you're either strong in English, or you're strong at Ma's, or whatever it is. But I want to encourage you. We're going to do simple Ma's today that's going to make it really easy. Can we do this? So we're going to do our times table, but we're only going to do 3 of them. Will that be okay? So 5 times 2, because what did the servant do? He doubled what he had. So we know what that means. Come on, we know this stuff. 5 times 2 is going to get you to 10. Now, what did the next servant do? He took the 2, and what did he do? He doubled it. So it's very simple. 2 times 2. No, it's not 8. It's 4. 2 times 2 is 4. That's what he did. Now, what did the last servant do? Because remember, it's about multiplication this morning. Faithfulness is about multiplication in this story. What does the last servant do? Can you figure out the number? What? Who said it? 0. Come on. 1 multiplied by 0 is going to get you 0. It's not going to get you 1. Trust me. Get the calculator. It is not going to get you 1. It's going to get you 0. Here's the scary thing about it. Any number before that 1, before that 0, gets you 0. We have to use our gifts. We have to take the talents that God has given us. God has made it simple. He makes it easy. He is a complicated God, but he makes it simple for us. He brings things down to our levels. He says this morning, guys, I only need you to know 3 sums. 5 times 2 is 10. 2 times 2 is 4. And 1 times 0 is 0 all day long. It never changes. And church, this morning, I know that we have been faithful in the past, but sometimes what we've done in our faithfulness is we've held tight, and we've buried hard, and we've hid away, because the enemy has come and he's killed, stolen, destroyed from our lives. And before you know it, we find ourselves in a hiding place, in a running place, in a deserted place. And God says, even in those places, I can bring water where there is none. I can bring growth in the desert where you see none. I can bring something where there should be no other way for it to come, because I can do the impossible, but you've got to trust me with the little that you do have. Over and over and over again in the Old Testament, right through the New Testament, what do we see? It's just the mom who has nothing left, she brings her oil to the prophet, and he just keeps increasing it and keeps increasing it. I mean, the widow just brings the little she does have, and she gives it to the kingdom of God, and the Lord increases it. The little boy brings his packed lunch that could feed hardly himself, and the Lord increases it and increases it. You see, it's never changed. Faithfulness is about multiplication. Knowing what we have, giving it to God, and saying, God, come on, I'm going to be faithful to this. I'm not going to hide it any longer. I'm not going to be held back any longer. I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God, and I'm going to see increase for the body and for the house and for God and for his kingdom. Then he had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. I want to see what went wrong in the servant's life here, because they all started out the same. Reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. Verse 25, but I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's what's yours. And he gives him back. Now, I want us to see two quick things here this morning of the difference between the last servant and the first 2. And it can be exactly the same that creeps into our lives. Because all of us have talents. We know that. God's given them to us. All of us have a place because God has created a place for us. We're part of the body of Christ. So what's going to make the difference? What went wrong with the final servant? What went wrong with that third servant? Here's the 2 things I want us to see this morning in those verses. Where does it say? Verse 24. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. What's the servant really saying here? He's like, God, I didn't realize you were a good God. I misunderstood your character. I didn't think that you were really for me. I thought you'd given those talents as a test because you were really looking to break me. This is really what the message the servant's translated. And I wonder this morning, do we fall into this role sometimes where we misunderstand the goodness of God, when we misunderstand his character? Because when we do that, guess what happens? We start to keep what we shouldn't keep. We start to hold on to what we should never hold on to. We stop giving away and we start keeping a hold of because we start to think that maybe our master's not good after all. This is a picture of God this morning. It's amazing how the enemy comes, and what does he really want to attack? He wants to attack the character of God, because if we stop believing that he's good, then maybe we'll have to start doing it ourselves. Maybe we'll have to start doing it our own way. Oh, he's filled me here. He's filled me there. No, we need to know that the master gave them the talents. Why? Because the master loved them. Because he decided to go away and he wanted them to do it for themselves. He gave them all the ability. He gave them all the talents. He gave them the right kind of ground. He gave them the right kind of farm. He gave them the right kind of resources. And he hoped to come back and rejoice with them. But the third servant came back and he said, oh my goodness, I thought you to be a hard man. I thought you to be a hard man. And so that's why. And church, this morning, if we're not careful, we can fall into that mindset. And many of us have fallen into that mindset. We've got to rebuke it in Jesus' name, and we've got to understand the grace and the goodness of God. Otherwise, it can lead us to this. Second quick thing was this. He was full of fear. It says, but I was afraid. I was afraid. You see, what does fear do? It drives out love, because the Bible tells us that perfect love drives out fear. If we're not careful, fear will start to reign in our lives, and it will drive out all of that love. It will drive out all of the goodness of God in our lives. It will drive out all of our confidence. It will drive out all of our boldness. And before, we were strong, confident people, but because of the trials of life, because of the ups and downs, because of the challenges that we have faced, we're going to find ourselves disabled on the outside. Here's what I've learned what fear does. Fear disables you, and it puts you right to the perimeter. It puts you right to the outside. And you look out into the world and go, oh, I wish I could do this, and I wish I could do that, and I would hope to have done that. But you find yourself a way out here because of what fear has done. It has disabled you. It has removed you. It's put you on the perimeter. If we were back to John's diagram 2 weeks ago, we would see it. We're right on the outskirts, or we're right on the outside. That's what fear does. When we stop trusting that he's good, when we stop knowing that he's good, and when fear starts to grip our heart, guess what it does? It drives out that incredible, perfect love that God has put inside of us. And then fear starts to reign. And then it dictates every situation. It dictates every decision that we make. And then instead of doing the things that we want to do, we end up just holding back, being on the fence, struggling, not sure what to do next. And God says this morning, here's what a faithful servant does. Takes the little that he has and he multiplies it. Takes the little that he has and he uses it for the kingdom of God. Each one of us have talents. What's the one talent, the two talents, the five talents that you have? God says this morning, I want you to take them and use them. Here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to disable your thinking and he wants to disable your love so that you will not use the gifts that God's got for you. The only difference between the third servant and the first two is how he sees the master and the fear that has gripped his life. Is there fear that's gripping your life this morning? Is there in any way, shape, or form a lie that's been sown into your mind that God is not a good God? Is there in any shape or form that has that been sown into your mind in any way? Because if it has, God wants to remove it this morning, because it will determine what you do with your talents. It will determine your multiplication. It will determine. And I don't want to get super harsh this morning, but look what God turns around, or what the master turns around and says to him. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. God, all I did was, I was afraid, sir. I just held on to what I had, and I'll give it back to you. I give it back to you. And what does the master say? You wicked and lazy servant. He doesn't get faithful and well done. He doesn't get faithful and good job. It's just wicked and lazy. And church, this morning, God just wants to grab our attention and grab our hearts, and not to condemn us, but to convict us and say this: I want to be a well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be a servant that was a good steward of what God had given to me, because this is not mine, this is his. I want to use the talents that he has given me. I want to be a blessing. I want to get faithful and good. I don't want to get lazy and wicked. This is what we want this morning. Church, this morning, God wants to encourage our hearts. He wants to renew our minds, and he wants to remove any kind of silly thinking that we've had before, any kind of negative thinking that we've had before, any kind of lies from the enemy, any kind of wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, or I'll just have this, or I'll just have this, that. God says this morning, you have been blessed with gifts. Go and play your part for the kingdom of God. When we multiply, we are faithful. When we maintain, we, Bible describes it, wicked and lazy. Church, this morning, we don't want to get stuck in maintenance mode. We want to be in multiplication mode. I want to encourage you. What's the little that you have? Use it and allow the Lord to multiply it. Faithfulness is not keeping it all going. Faithfulness is keep multiplying. Keep using the talents that God has given you. It's our destiny. A good steward is always looking for an opportunity to use their talents. This is what a good steward does. Where do you need me? How can I help? Where do you need this? Where do you need me there? How can I do this? How can I do that? A good steward's always on the go. A good steward is a good servant. A good steward is a good servant. And this is what God's called us to be this morning. Good stewards of the word, we're faithful with it. We use it. We apply it to our lives. Good steward of the talents that God has given us. We use them. We are a blessing. Good stewards of the finance that God has blessed us with. We use it for the kingdom. We bless the kingdom with it. Good stewards with our health, because God has given me good health, good strength, so I'm going to go and be a blessing to somebody else who's maybe struggling in another area. We can all be good stewards of the few things that God has given us. And if we're looking more, then be good stewards with what he's given you. He will multiply. He will increase. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you, as a servant, we multiply. As a servant, we increase. As we do that, God will increase you. Who's not looking to grow this morning? I would hazard a guess that we're all looking to grow in every form and in every way. If we want to, we use the gifts that God has given us, and he will multiply them to us. Can we stand? I just want to finish off with a couple of things this morning, but I want to draw our hearts. So come on, let's stand together. Wow. Just as preparing the message, just praying, I knew that the Holy Spirit just wanted to move and just touch our hearts in different ways this morning. Because this is a key message that will transform our lives if we allow the Holy Spirit to touch our lives. But think about what's in the way, the biggest strongholds of our lives. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. I used to be driven by fear in so many different ways. Anxious about this, fearful about that. What would this be if this happened? Worrying about here, worrying about there. All wrapped up in fear. All wrapped up in fear. And ultimately, because I was unsure, did I trust God and his goodness? Did I trust him with what he has given me? And it came to a point in time where I decided, you know what? The fear can have all at once, but I can't take it any longer. I'm going to choose to trust that he is good. I'm going to decide that he is good. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to ask the Lord to fill me full of his love. And as his love came, that perfect love drove away, chased away, got rid of all of that fear in so many different ways. Now, that fear wanted to come back, and loads of nerves and loads of anxiety and loads of worries. Other people wanted to try and put it into me. I wanted to try and put it into myself, but I had to keep submitting to God, had to keep asking the Lord for more strength, had to keep stepping out and using the gifts that God's given me. I want to encourage you this morning that sometimes just sitting and waiting and hoping to get better doesn't work. We've got to use the little that God has given us. Sometimes waiting and waiting for something to happen for God to make me this superstar and that superstar and to use me in this significant way and to cause me to save all Africa or whatever it would be in your mind. It starts off very small, and it doesn't usually work like that. Trust God. If he wants to do it that way, he'll come and do it that way in your life. But normally it's simple, simple, simple. Use the little that you do have. Let him multiply it. Let him increase that. And so this morning, I want us to pray, but I want to challenge our hearts. I want to challenge our hearts and ask the Lord to come and speak to us. Challenge that fear. Challenge that negative emotion. Challenge that thought of who God is and what he does and how he might be interested in me. And rectify all of that to understand that he is a loving heavenly father who has given good gifts to his servants that he loves. And all he simply wants is us to have fun with the gifts that he has given us. You know, sometimes when we're having fun, we're really just stepping into the will of God. Sometimes when it's just all this and all that, maybe we're just trying this and we're trying that. I'm not saying it's always that, but there's a joy in serving God. There's a joy that rises up in the midst of the storm. There's a joy that even in the struggle, there's a joy because, oh my goodness, I'm saved. There's a joy that wants to break forth no matter what. And so this morning, church, I want to pray that there's a joy that's going to break forth in all of our lives, in all of our hearts. And we're going to step forth and we're going to multiply. So come on, let's just close your eyes. And I want to pose a couple of questions. And they're to grab our hearts. so that God can speak to us. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you're just drawing our hearts to you. I pray this morning, Lord, that you are gathering our hearts to your Holy Spirit, that you are gathering our hearts, Lord. Maybe our hearts have been wandering. Maybe our hearts have been cold. Maybe we thought we were doing all right, but this morning we just look at this parable and we said to me, oh my goodness, I was just maintaining. I don't want to be wicked and lazy. I want to be the multiplying servant. I want to be the well done, good and faithful. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be a faithful steward with what God has given me. And let's not get it wrong. We can't do this in our own strength. We can only do it in his strength. But God has provided everything we need of. And so here's my question to start off with. Is what are we going to do now? What are we going to do with what we know? Lord, I'm a steward, not a provider. You're my Jehovah Jireh, not me. Lord, I'm worrying about this, I'm worrying about that, I'm anxious about this, but Lord, that's not my role. I'm just a good steward of what God has given me. Not a maintainer, but a multiplier. Lord, I've got to be used. I've got to use what you have given me. So what am I going to do now? Maybe your response to that is this: not yet. I'm not ready. Maybe the response is, I can't, Lord. I just don't know how to. Maybe the response is, Lord, I'm just, Lord, you know, I'm just so broken. I'm just so hurt. I just feel so beat up. Lord just says, be faithful with the little that you do have. Be faithful with the little that's left. Maybe it's making a phone call. Maybe it's just sending the scripture. Maybe it's just helping in a practical sense, but you can only do it in a small way yet because you're not ready to do it in a big way, but you just do it faithfully in the small. As you step out and you just help in this way or in that way or through a phone call, through an email, whatever it is, I don't really want to give loads of examples because I know the things that God's put in your heart and they're different for each one. But what's the little things that you can do? And so my question is this, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? But Lord, you don't understand, and I'm not ready, or this or that. And I pray this morning that the Lord's just going to remove every single weight, every single snare, every single object that's in the way, and to allow you to see that he is good and that he's for you, and that his love wants to push away all of that fear in Jesus' name. And so, guys, I'm gonna ask us for a response this morning because this is a responding word. And just as we're praying, come on, let's just keep in this attitude and atmosphere of prayer. I want us to respond. And let's respond in two different ways depending on what way you want to do it. I'm going to ask for a response of those who want to come to the front. We're going to join at the altar and we're going to pray because time is short and there's an urgency on your call. There's an urgency on your talents. There's a requirement. There's a necessity. God has to have them because if he doesn't, he's going to have to find somebody else. Your talents are important. They're vital for the kingdom work. They're essential for the days ahead. I want to encourage you on this. We've been talking a lot about Nehemiah over the last few months. Nehemiah needed the guys to stay on the wall. He needed them to fight and build. He needed one hand to be a builder, one hand to be a warrior. God says this morning, we're going into the next season. We've already begun, and the challenges are going to be greater than ever before. And so, therefore, we're going to need more workers. We're going to need more people to apply their gifts, more people to apply their talents, to use them, to be bold in the midst of fear, to be bold in the midst of worry. And so I'm going to encourage you to respond in two different ways. You can either come to the front, or you can just indicate by raising your hand. But I want to encourage you the first one. Because it's time to make a move. It's time to take a step, and it's time to just say, Lord, I'm going to use what I do have. I'm going to use what I do have, and I'm going to ask you to multiply in every single way. So come on. I'm going to encourage you to be bold. I'm already here. Does anybody else want to join me? Anybody else want to come? You're saying, right, I'm ready to use my gifts. Come on. Let's go. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's time to move. We cannot hold back any longer. I know our culture is to wait. I know our culture is to hang back. I know our culture is not to respond. It's to try to be really PC, trying to be really correct, but we can't hang back any longer because there's multitudes going to a lost eternity. We just can't hang back. There are so many people that are losing their way. See, the kingdom of heaven is like three different servants who are all given three different amounts of gifts. Two used them and multiplied, but one was taken away from them. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. And God's here this morning. He wants to encourage us. He wants to promote us. He wants to call us forward. And there's no elitism in this. There's no you're better than me in this. This is just hunger. This is just response time. There's no pressure in it. You don't have to do it. You got to want to do it. But I want to encourage you. There's an urgency on the times. There's an urgency on the times. Because the harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. Could we turn that around? Could we turn that around this morning and say, Lord, I've got to be used. I need you to use my gifts. I need you to use my talents. I need you to move. I need you to move. So we're going to worship. We're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to just keep joining us if you want to. Keep joining us if you want to. Lord, this morning, you see our lives. You see our hearts. You see all the things that we face, Lord. There are so many reasons not to push forward. There are so many reasons not to multiply. There are so many reasons not to go and to use the talents and use the gifts that God's got for us. There are so many reasons to just maintain. So many reasons just to bury what we've got because we're worried about this and we're worried about that. There are so many different reasons for that. But Lord, there's still a greater reason. There's still a greater reason to use our talents. Because God, you've made me a good steward. Because God, you have given me these gifts. Because God, you have led these gifts upon me. And so, Lord, I've got to use them for the kingdom of God. Because far be it from me, Lord, I've got to use what you've given me. What did Esther respond when she went before the king? She said, if I die, I die, but I've got to go. I've got to go. And Lord, we are all here for such a time as this. If I die, I die, but I've got to go. If I'm useless, I'm useless, but I've got to go. If I haven't got much, I've got to go because I've got to use what I've got. I've got to do it. And so, Lord, I pray for your boldness. I pray for your faithfulness this morning. I pray for your multiplication, Lord. I pray for your increase. And I pray for it right across, Lord. Whether we're at the front or whether we're in our seats, Lord, you see our hearts. You know what we're capable of. Lord, you know what we're able to do. So draw us, Lord. Increase us, Lord. Multiply us, Lord. But to know that we've got a job to do and we've got something to be a part of and we've got a role to play and God has given it to us for our joy, for our pleasure, but for his good pleasure as well and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Jesus, we love you. Come on, let's worship the Lord this morning. Can we sing? Let's worship wherever we are. Let's worship the Lord this morning.